My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Discover game-changing technologies that are set to disrupt the year ahead. From bioengineering and the ethics of Gen AI to tech-driven sustainability, the HCL Tech Trends Report provides strategic insights that will help drive innovation and shape the future of your business. Hear the thoughts of global leaders and gain valuable insights that unlock the power of cutting-edge technology. Click on the link to download this report now.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Prarthana Sibul.
We, in fact, expected the podcast consumption is going to go down because mostly in the past, people used to consume podcasts while they are traveling, they're commuting. But because of the work from home situation, the commute went down. And with a lot of screen time, I would say, I would not even just categorize video, but a lot of screen time also. The reading has gone down, the video consumption has gone down, and it's more like they want to tune out and listen to a podcast.
As head of client services at award-winning B2B podcast agency Pickle & Co., Prarthana Sibul has managed over 1,000 podcast episodes from idea to launch. Branding, public relations, corporate communications, brand reputation, and podcasting for brands. Born in India, educated in SMU Singapore, she's also based in Singapore, and she's our guest this week on the On Brand podcast. But first, really quickly, I want to share something our friends at Storyblock have to make you smarter. It's a new report called The State of Content Management, and it's a very useful survey of 515 businesses in the U.S. and Europe, companies just like yours, and how they're approaching content distribution through their digital channels in 2022. Think about it. You have to provide content for your website, maybe a mobile app, and then there's e-commerce platforms, voice-activated speakers. Managing content is more complex today than ever. Get insights and ideas on how companies like yours are tackling the content challenge with the State of Content Management report from Storyblock. Just go to storyblock.com/onbrand for your free report. That's Storyblock, without the C, .com/onbrand. Prarthana, welcome.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks for having me.
I am thrilled to chat with you. And I feel like when I talk about your work in the podcasting space, here we are on a podcast itself. So
yeah, great.
that would be on brand for you and your work. So
how about that? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting because I feel like we've been in this age of podcast growth. Where are we at in the bell curve? Is it still the golden age of podcasting? Are we in the middle? Are we still on the way up? Are we even on the way down?
So, Nick, let me put it in this way that I can give you a good Asia perspective based here out of Singapore. So, Asia in totality is about 5 to 6 years behind in adopting the trends as compared to the West. So while nowadays podcasters are even making $1 million to $2 million through their podcast solely, even monthly as an income, that is not really the case in Asia, but that is picking up. So let me give you some data coming from India. India, as an example, is really known for its heavy media industry and the radio station. So that is how podcast started growing out of India. So there are different elements of radio stations which people understand, and that's why they love podcast, and this audience is growing now within Asia as well. In the bell curve, if you'll say, we are just going upwards. We have just started going upwards. The Asia market has started getting educated, both as brands starting podcast, leaders starting their podcast, as well as listeners starting to consume podcast. And Spotify and Apple are very heavily investing in the Asia market for now. So there's a long way to go, but we have just started up the bell curve.
Interesting, interesting, especially from a global perspective. And I would assume even Western podcasts that may be listened to in the Asia markets would have would be a part of that staggered growth as well. So talk a bit. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just I really find this very interesting, a comparison of podcast and the websites. So let's say, okay, so today we have 2 million podcasts in the world, right? That's the number of websites which were there back in 1998. So, and today there are 1.7 billion websites. So in podcast terms, we are still very much in the early days and with a lot of growth to come. So I think that is a good comparison that can give you an idea of what is yet to come in the next few years. And obviously COVID has for sure accelerated, and people started has started consuming more of audio because of just the video and the meetings and all the fatigue that they have faced.
That's a really interesting perspective, both from the number of websites compared to podcasts and looking at that as context, but then also the pandemic too, because, you know, I feel like when this all started, everybody went looking at, you know, started analyzing the podcasting numbers. And at the beginning, it seemed like it's not all that different. Well, but as you noted, things settling down, the impact of Zoom fatigue and And high quality audio content is really something that is in demand with today's consumer.
Yeah, absolutely. We in fact expected that the podcast consumption is going to go down, because mostly in the past people used to consume podcasts while they are traveling, they're commuting. And let's say if the commute, office commute is about 25 to 30 minutes or more, that is just a perfect time to listen to one of the episodes, right? But because of the work from home situation, the commute went down, people were expecting that maybe, you know, there won't be much podcast listeners. But it was the other way around all the way, right? Because as I said, with the videos, with all of that, and with a lot of screen time, I would say, I would not even just categorize video, but a lot of screen time also, the reading has gone down, the video consumption has gone down, and it's more like they want to tune out and listen to a podcast, which is while they are doing the rest of their chores, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's interesting, because you mentioned the commute, and that's what so many of us, especially B2B podcasts, which I want to talk about in a moment, but we all set our watches by our audience's commute, and now all of a sudden that commute's gone. So has our captive audience time vanished? And as you were saying that, I thought of myself, because I'm both a B2B podcaster, but also a podcast consumer. And I thought, you know, I am listening to my shows while I'm, like you said, doing my chores, while I'm watering the plants, while I'm doing the dishes. So it didn't go away, but it's almost like we moved that time.
Absolutely, that's the case. And in fact, Nick, what we have seen is not just an increase in the podcast consumption, but the variety of podcasts that have started coming in. People initially thought that, okay, podcast is in person. We have to be in a, like a studio or something, or buy the most expensive gadgets to do a podcast or start a podcast, right? But that is not the case. There have been so many online platforms now, which allows you to record on your local internet connection, which gives you a very high quality podcast. And now just imagine, Nick, I am here. This is the best way to connect, right? I am based out of Singapore. You are in the West. So otherwise we wouldn't have connected.
No.
So that is how the content is increasing. The frequency of the podcast is also increasing. People who were, or brands who were initially publishing episodes once a month, twice a month, because with the kind of content, and COVID has given a lot of content, people were expecting brands to talk about these content as well. So this is exactly what has also led to an increase in the content getting published.
You know, that's fascinating to think about, really, some of these different shifts in terms of frequency. Mm-hmm. And you brought up a really good point. I always thought, you know, the big interview shows when I started podcasting, they were all live. They were somewhere in a studio. Now, the biggest shows have switched to the format that we're using right now of doing it all online, and the growth in potential and potential guests and the impact you can have and the audience that you can cross-pollinate with that. Mm-hmm. Are there other shifts as a result of this two-year window of pandemic time that we've found ourselves in that podcasters need to think about?
Yeah, one of the shifts is that a lot of young and influential, we've started seeing very young and influential audiences listening to the podcast now. So as per our latest report that we put together, most of the podcast listeners are aged around 18 to 34 years. And a lot of them are like from VP and C-level within their organization. So what this means is that it's not just about the number of listeners. It is also, and especially I'm saying it from a brand's point of view, and if you're a B2B brand, you are someone influential is listening to your podcast for 40 to 45 minutes, right? So just imagine what kind of a connection that builds between that influential person and you. So that is one of the shifts that we have changed. We have seen over the last 2 years. The other thing that we have also seen is the diversity in the voice. So in terms of, it's not just that one person within an organization is starting a podcast. It's like now they have a channel in place. So they are letting other partners, other clients, other even the chairman and all of them getting involved because now they have started a podcast channel. So we are seeing a lot of such increase in the diversity in the voice, which is a lot of brands starting it, plus the kind of audience profile who's listening to podcast.
On Brand, we'll be right back. After this.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure. I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Discover game-changing technologies that are set to disrupt the year ahead. From bioengineering and the ethics of Gen AI to tech-driven sustainability, the HCL Tech Trends Report provides strategic insights that will help drive innovation and shape the future of your business. Hear the thoughts of global leaders and gain valuable insights that unlock the power of cutting-edge technology. Click on the link to download this report now.
Now, back to the show.
So that's fascinating to think about the shifts that have taken place. Mm-hmm. I want to talk a bit more about B2B podcasting. Mm-hmm. Because in my experience, B2B marketers, and I'm one of them myself, so anything that I would say, I can apply right back to myself, we're quick to say that, we are so different. It's great for the big, direct-to-consumer shows, your celebrity shows, your Joe Rogans, but we're B2B and we're different. So What are some of the ways that B2B podcasting is different?
So the best way to get started with a B2B podcast is, firstly, we need to ask a question that why does that brand want to start a podcast? So with B2C, there are very clear case studies now in the market. It's for advertorial reasons, for the audience, for media channel purpose. So all those case studies are already out there. But there are very few case studies on B2B podcasts that why was the podcast started. Some of them even stopped after the 6 episodes, which we call as a pod fade. Great interest in the beginning with a lot of sponsors internally, but, it dies out. So that's why it's very important to align the objectives of the podcast and the objectives of the business. So we kind of classify it into 3 parts. We say the objectives can be classified either under awareness, acquisition, or influence. So let's say your organization's objectives, awareness, and podcasts are a very effective way to raise this awareness. Because as I said, there are 1 billion people listening to podcasts every week globally. And unlike any other social media forms, when listeners listen, they consume most of the content. The recent report that we've seen is that the average YouTube video attention span is about 80 seconds or so. And Facebook and Twitter is even shorter than that. But when it comes to podcast, at least 45% of the podcast listeners listen to at least 75% of each episode. So that is the power of awareness that can be created if that is your objective using podcast. Let's say second objective of yours is the business objective is acquisition. You want to acquire new clients, or you even want to look at retention, right? So you can definitely use podcasts to acquire new businesses because it has a direct application in which you are inviting a client or a partner or a prospect to be a guest on the podcast. And this experience often yields to follow-up conversations and creates that intimate conversation that otherwise, if it's only a coffee conversation that's possible, right? Other than talking outside of the business meetings. And more indirectly, if you want to look podcast for acquisition, you can use it as a tool to showcase your work to a wider network. The third is the easiest one, which is influence. So research shows that podcast listeners are younger, more highly educated, and more likely to occupy leadership positions than the average population. That means your conversations reach to the right people, and that's why podcast can be used for influence. So that is, Nick, should be the beginning of any B2B, any brand, if they want to start a podcast. Do you have any of these objectives in mind? If you do, then you have a good reason to start a podcast.
And, you did such a good job of explaining those that it could sound easier than it is. But those are tough questions to really, absolutely, really dig into. So, So say someone's done that. They've got their objective nailed down and aligned with their overall business objective. What about the show format, length, the overall shape of the production? Is it best to follow best practices? Is it best to look at something you could maybe do differently? What's the best approach with, once you know your objective, determining the shape of the show?
Yeah. So the podcast design, as we call it, again, depends on the business objective, but it can be changed depending on the content and who is the host as well. So the starting point of even establishing a podcast design, you have to see who's the host and what is their style of delivery. Let's say you have a chairman of an MNC doing a podcast, and his style is more towards insights. He loves data, and that is the kind of way he wants to go. The other one, maybe a host has a style of more storytelling. He likes to talk about the journey of a person. He likes to talk about the background and the challenges and the pain points, and that is what he's more comfortable with. So depending on the storytelling style of that person, of the host, that also very heavily influences the podcast design. That is in a case that you already have confirmed your host first, and then you need to decide a podcast design. But let's say if you have not decided on a host yet, then you need to start looking at, okay, what is the brand that we want to portray? Do we want to portray a very collaborative brand? If that is the case, then definitely go into a podcast style in which is more storytelling, more about the person, more about their journeys and backgrounds. But if you are reaching out to the other C-level people, then you need to go into slightly interview style and focusing more on the insights and data. If you're reaching out to your partners, you need to be showcasing more of the case studies then. So that is what influences the host, the objectives and the storytelling style is what influences the podcast design.
That's fascinating. I feel like I've said fascinating 3 or 4 times already, but it's a fascinating conversation, so I'm going to own it. Really, the emphasis on host is pretty key there in thinking about that, which kind of brings me to organizational impact, because the personnel internally at an organization is critical, and I would imagine that's a pretty big hurdle. So do you need someone on your team that can be a perfect host? Can that come from the outside? Can it be supported? How are businesses that, honestly, prior to podcasting, weren't necessarily in the business of audio production, getting this work done?
Yeah. So, Nick, we totally know this, that in business today, people follow people and not brands. So it is very essential that you also build your podcast around the host. And your host is ultimately the experience that we as a listener have of your brand, right? So your host is literally the human voice of your brand. And that is one of the reasons why we recommend someone internal to be a podcast host and someone who has the relationships effectively with the guest. Now, there is a possibility, if it is a very big brand who has started a podcast, there is a possibility that you might want to rotate your host, because as you said, there's a high time commitment also maybe needed from their end on the planning and the production and so on. But it is very important for the host to reflect the brand voice. If an external personal can do that, then well and good. But someone who is internal and has the relations with the guest would be the best choice.
You know, that's such an important point. And it reminds me of, you know, I feel like something we run into in digital marketing in general a lot is I need these special technical people. And oftentimes those are the easier skills that you can find from external partners like you. What you just said about, you know, one of the most important people internally is the host, who's gonna kind of serve as the owner. And it's not because of their highly advanced technical podcasting skills. It's what you said. It's about owning those relationships and people that not only they can, you know, get connected with and get to agree to come on a podcast, but that they have a level of warmth and candor that's going to make it an interesting conversation.
Absolutely, that is the case, Nick, because a lot of heavy lifting can be done by partners like us. Even some of them have the internal capabilities as well. But the host role, as we define it, should be focusing on the content itself and the guest. That's it. The rest of the things like scheduling, the mic, has it reached the guest or not, the mic test required, the post-production approvals, social media posting, that shouldn't be something that the host should focus on at all. And that's why partners like us can support organizations to do the heavy lifting so that the host can focus on what they do the best, which is having these wonderful conversations with very, very senior people.
I love that, and it bears repeating to anyone listening out there that's grappling with how to start a podcast and the personnel that that's going to take. It's the people with the people skills that is so important and brings a smile to my face. And speaking of smiles, it is the point in the podcast where I get to ask you for a brand that has made you smile recently.
Okay, so let me put it in this way, Nick. It's not really a brand, but the brand leader who has made me smile recently. So this is the founder of VaynerMedia, Gary Vee. I'm sure you must have come across him on LinkedIn, TikTok, Instagram. He's everywhere.
Yeah.
And he has done a great, great job to make sure that he is the voice of the brand. He has humanized his brand. He's built that trust for his brand. And it is a very good reflection of how our times are changing when it comes to branding. Initially, all these conversations, the senior leadership conversations, were behind the doors during the breakfast meetings. But now he goes out there. He has these personal conversations, open conversations. He's talking about the big issues. So he definitely, I'm not sure if recently he has made me smile, but I always look forward to his content, like every morning, literally.
Well, that's a very on-topic smile, because it's a great example of what we were just talking about. Because it's not, I mean, I'm sure Gary Vee has great technical skills, as most of us do, but that's not what makes what he does special. It's what he brings to it. It's the people skills. It's his engagement skills. And those continue to be some of the most important ones in digital brand building. Parthana, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
So if you want to reach out to me and have a chat, then I'm available on LinkedIn under the name Parthana Sibyl. And if you want to reach out to my rest of the team, and if you have any questions regarding B2B podcast, then you can reach out to us via our website, which is www.pitul.com. Pitul is P-I-K-K-A-L.
Awesome. And we will link up to all of that in our show notes at onbrandpodcast.com. Parthana, thanks for being on brand with us.
Great. Thanks, Nick, for having me.
On Brand is part of the Marketing Podcast Network. If you like what you're hearing, if we've made you smile, you can always listen free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever your favorite platform may be. And please take a moment and rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.